With schools shutting down across the country to stave off the spread of the coronavirus, we thought of another virus in another time that shut down everything.
This is polio, and it is something for you to remember. Polio is not over.
A film from the March of Dimes, just after the Salk polio vaccine was developed in 1955, reminding Americans that that same year, thousands were still infected by the polio virus, 50 a day in some key states.
In the summer of 1955, polio again struck hard across the nation. No swimmers or boaters where crowds would normally be in summertime. A children's playground with not a child in sight. Children were not allowed to leave their own yards.
On New York's Long Island, returning GIs like my dad were moving families into miraculous suburbs like Levittown, a community pool right at the shopping center, where my siblings and I contracted the waterborne polio. My sister and I had a painful flu that passed. My brother, some paralysis, he soaked in hot waters in a sanitarium and fully recovered. But Bill Walling, the family doctor who held and comforted us, was paralyzed for life.
Men, women, children. As always, especially children, filling hospitals with its little victims.
On the 50th anniversary of that outbreak, I joined other polio survivors and doctors at a conference at Children's Hospital in Boston. We gathered around the iron lungs that both entombed paralyzed patients and enabled them to breathe.
Oh, boy, this brings back really sad memories.
It has for me, too, because on either side of me was one of these with the ladies in them, and they didn't live.
Nearby, a beautiful older woman weeps. It's Tenley Albright, Olympic figure skater, doctor, polio survivor.
Oh, this is a very emotional day. I haven't seen an iron lung for so long, and I wasn't in an iron lung, but when I was in the hospital, I saw people who were. Well, I missed my brother so much when I was isolated in the hospital that one time my parents brought a ladder and put it up in the parking lot so he could climb up it, and then they pushed my bed so I could just look out the window and get a peek at him. So, well, isn't it interesting how vivid our memories are of this?
So what can that long-ago polio outbreak tell us about today's coronavirus pandemic? What should we know about kids and COVID-19? Dr. Howard Markell is director of the Center for the History of Medicine at the University of Michigan. But Dr. Markell, start with the polio epidemic. What a frightening time for parents.
It really was the epidemic of their era, just like if you're my age, HIV/AIDS was the epidemic in the 80s, and now COVID-19 is. It's a real binding kind of moment for a society.
Well, just to give us some context, I was told at Children's Hospital there'd be 100 cars lined up, Woody station wagons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With kids laid out in the back who were paralyzed.
Well, you know, polio, which for the first epidemic was actually in 1916, and it was in New York City and was quite terrible. And there were several in the 30s and, of course, the 40s and the 50s. And most sadly, there was a big wave in 1955. But what was most striking about polio compared to many other infectious diseases today was that it struck children way out of proportion to adults. Poorer children who did not have access to clean running water, because polio is a gastrointestinal virus, they were probably ingesting small amounts of polio virus their whole lives and developed antibodies to it. But those kids who did not have exposure to polio were really walloped. If you're lucky, you're in an iron lung.
Yeah.
But there are other children who got it higher up in the brainstem. Those children, of course, died.
Why did it target children?
Adults did get polio. It was just those that had antibodies to it were more immune to it. Mm-hmm. Children are only developing their immune system. You know, when they're an infant, they hardly have an immune system at all. And even under 5 years old, the immune system of that child is quite different than an older child or an adult's.
You see on these old videos from the March of Dimes, beaches that were completely empty, pools completely empty.
Yeah, they even closed theaters and summer camps. And FDR was actually swimming at a Boy Scout camp a week before he was stricken at Campobello in 1920.
Yeah. So people who are feeling stress in this time can see maybe how stressful another time is. And so many people did pull through. I mean, all my siblings came out the other side with really no residue, although I don't think my mother ever got over it. Yeah. You know, my mother had to be sent away because she was pregnant and couldn't be around her children who had polio. Just, it was a terrible, terrible time.
But think about how great it is that we have modern medicine today compared to what you're describing in the 40s and 50s.
And information. So
information,
let's get information out, because today parents are so worried about schools. So start there. We don't know that much about COVID-19, but why is it not hitting children more?
Well, we don't know. I mean, we will know later on. It seems to be hitting most heavily the elderly and those with pre-existing serious health conditions. And it may be just because it's the type of respiratory virus that causes in some adults acute respiratory distress syndrome, and that requires ventilation and intensive care and so on, that this is not something that's striking children. And I, for one, am delighted to say that's true.
That's the good news. But how about if children are, you know, we talk about adults who might be more compromised.
Right.
But can children be more compromised? Children with asthma, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. Children with asthma. And don't forget, there are a lot more people, both children and adults, who are walking around today who would never be alive 50 years ago. People with cancer who are getting chemotherapy or radiation or immunotherapy. People with transplants. People with other immune-compromised disease. You know, and you don't really have a label when you're walking around, but those people, and respiratory diseases like serious asthma or emphysema or cystic fibrosis, those people are at risk. And that's sort of the rationale behind school closure, is that even if a kid gets it and that child has a mild disease, if he or she goes home and has a parent or a sibling who has a serious other disease, that could put them at risk.
Okay. Last week we had on Ashish Jha from Harvard, who was somewhat in your camp. We have to start preparing to close schools. This is a non-pharmaceutical intervention, an NPI, something that's not medicine, but that's something that can interfere with an epidemic. And you talk about how in past outbreaks, even the 1918 influenza, the flu epidemic, you say the school closures then were one of the best firewalls.
Yes. We were really privileged to do a study with the Centers for Disease Control where we looked at 43 major American cities in 1918 to 1919. And we looked at these non-pharmaceutical interventions. So isolation and quarantine is one, public gathering bans is another, and school closures is the third. And those cities that acted early, because you have to do it early before the virus hits an inflection point and is spread and circulated throughout the town, that layered more than one of these NPI and did them for a long period of time, did far better than those cities that did not.
Okay, early. Is that one case? Is that one child's parent? Is what is that?
That's the million-dollar question. When it reached about two times the rate of flu in that particular city when compared to the year before, if you passed that point, there was no return. Yeah. But, of course, they had data from the year before of influenza and its occurrence in that city. And we don't have that for COVID-19 because it's a novel virus. So what I'm prescribing is better safe than sorry.
Well, you also studied school closings in Michigan during the wave of H1N1 flu in 2009. 83% of those closings occurred long after the virus had reached its peak week of infection. And that was too late.
Right. The virus already circulates. And, you know, I had a professor in graduate school who said, Howard, you have to remember that the first word in public health is public. And sometimes we do things for political or show reasons. You know, people complain to their leaders, don't just stand there, do something.
This is like Goldilocks, you know, don't do it too late. Don't do it with maybe just one. You've got to have a little more of a sense that there's concern. And definitely don't close schools if you haven't seen any COVID-19.
Well, yeah, you know, the history of public health is littered with health officers that acted either too early and then people complain, or too late and then people get sick or die. And to use a baseball metaphor, to hit that sweet spot, you know, you have to be basically the Babe Ruth of public health to do it absolutely right. We also have at-risk children who are actually safer in school because they may come from homeless families or they come from families where there's abuse or other bad things going on. So there's a lot of planning that needs to be done, a lot of considerations that, by the way, 100 years ago would never even enter into public health people's minds, because the idea of a quarantine was to get those sick people far away from us. And there was no treatment for them anyway, so they concentrated on the healthy.
Right. And children are great carriers. Why?
Well, because they don't have – the polite term is they don't have respiratory hygiene.
Okay.
They slobber and they cough and they do things.
Oh, things we probably don't want to even know about. But Dr. Markell, before we close, what else can we learn from the terrible polio outbreak that we can apply to today?
Well, what we can learn is that our predecessors have met these contagious crises with far less armaments and tools in their toolbox, and they came through on the other end. And we can do this and will do this with COVID-19.
Dr. Howard Markell, he teaches the history of medicine at the University of Michigan. Howard, Dr. Markell, thanks so much.
Oh, it's just been a delight. Thanks. I wish it would be under happier circumstances, but thanks for having me.
Well, we'll post that March of Dimes 1950s film on polio. It is incredible. And if COVID-19 is reminding you of that time or the HIV crisis, share your stories. Hereandnow.org.